Yesterday, I ran into my good friend Rabbi David Bashefkin, and he said to me, "You know, it seems like you might be running out of seminar and halacha topics because, you know, selling schar and olam haba, like, what's that about?" So I said, "It happens to me. I just didn't have time to prepare, and that was something I was learning anyway." But then I said, "I never run out of topics because people email me topics all the time." So someone sent me an email 2 days ago and said, "You know, you have a seminar and halacha share on paroches." The parochas in the shul, he said, "Well, my shul got a new parochas, and it's a split parochas down the middle, and you open it up, and it takes the words apart from each other, and the letters apart from each other, and your whole shiur on parochas. You don't mention the halachic implications, the hilchos Shabbos implications of that, of having such a parochas." I thought I had, but I guess I hadn't mentioned it, so I figured let's discuss that today. In order to discuss that, you need to know where this question or a similar question originally came up. From the very, very early Achronim, there's a discussion about books that are stamped on the side that have so there used to be such a thing called a library, and there used to be such a thing called books. So the on the side of the books, they'll stamp, you know, the name of the library, and when you open it up, the name, the words are, you know, come apart from each other, and that is therefore a shaila on Shabbos of erasing, because the letters are there, and now they're not there, then you close it, now they're there again, not there, there again, right? So it's an issue of both mochek and kosev, depending on whether you're opening the book or closing the book. So that is the discussion that the poskim have. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Mem, Sivkot and Yud Zayin, he quotes from a Tshuvas Harama that says that it is permissible. And he has several reasons why it is permissible. Most notable is that, you know, Darko Bekach, that's the way it's supposed to be done. It's meant to be open and closed all the time. So there's absolutely no sense of permanence to any of it when you're opening and when you're closing the book. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Mikol Makom, Nachon Lahachmir Kishiyesh Lo Sefer Acher. If you have another book to read, you have another sefer to learn, better to be machmir when you have that book. Of course, this shayla comes up. Chaznish also writes, by the way, in Siman Samchal, Sivkat and Aleph, that mikom makom ro'oi lahachmir. The shayla doesn't only come up in Hilchos Mochek on Shabbos, in terms of erasing letters on Shabbos, but in terms of Shem Hashem. If someone were to write Yudke Vavke on the binding of the books, not on the binding, on the pages of the book, and then you open it up, is that a violation of being Mochek Shem Hashem? I think Rav Zilberstein has a tshuva where he had to discuss this because there was a boy that was thrown out of a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he decided that he was going to get back at the yeshiva. So he came into the Beis Medrash at 2 o'clock in the morning when no one was there. He took every single book off the shelf, and he wrote the Shem Hashem, Yudke Vavke, on the pages of every single book, so that they couldn't possibly open any of the svarim, because then it's going to be a violation of being mochek shem Hashem, if you hold that that is in fact the case. So what do you do in that situation? You see, as far as the Shabbos issue is concerned, if you have such a book that you want to use on Shabbos, it's really an easy solution. Before Shabbos, you could just color it in, you know, put more ink there and block out whatever letters you wrote. You know, that would be fine. Obviously, if it's a library book, it doesn't belong to you, you can't do that. And obviously, if it's the Shem Hashem written on it, you can't do that. But if it's Stam writing on the side, you were doodling in class and you wrote your name on the pages of the book, so that you'd be allowed to do as far as Shabbos is concerned. But again, Me'ikra Din, it's really mutter anyway, Mishabura Paskins. He just says that it's Ro'oi Lahachmir. So there is a suggestion that some have that that in order to be machmir for the sheet of the Mishnah Berurah, you can, before Shabbos, you can stick a piece of paper in between the letters of the book, and that would work. Rabbi Ribiat, in his Lamatas Malachos, is not a big fan of this heter. He thinks that it doesn't really do anything. He says, you know, if you're going to do it, you have to make sure that the letters are separated and broken to the extent that neither half of any of the individual letters is fully recognizable as a letter, as a character. I mean, you really have to cut it like right in half, because if you just put the page in somewhere like the top part of the letter or the bottom part of the letter, if let's say the letter V is missing a little bit off the top, it's still a V. And then when you open the book to some page in the middle, you would still have the same problem that you started with. And he writes in a footnote, Lo yadati tam nachon amai moil b'meshamach nisim chatichas niyar dak bin adapim. He says, I don't know a good reason why it would help to divide the letters in that way by putting a piece of paper in there, because every os is still recognizable. And even if you put the paper right in the middle, he says, you know, you look at it from the side, you could still see the whole letter. So he doesn't understand why that should make why that should help at all. And therefore, he suggests that if you're going to separate them, it should be with something thicker that will really separate them, not just one sheet of paper, which is very, very thin. But again, that is all not nekra din. That's the ro'i lahachmir. You want to be machmir for all the shittos against the tshuvas harama. So it's a nice chumra that one could have, but it's not required mekra din. So what does that have to do with the parochas? So the shaila came up when you have these parochas that are instead of one big curtain, it's two pieces and they open in the middle, and very often there's writing on the parochas or a picture on the parochas, but let's say writing. So it says, Kimitzion Teitze Torah or something like that, and you open it up and it pulls apart the letters. Is that a violation of mochik? And then putting it back, is that a violation of Kosev? So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, and in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Dalid Simen Mem Os Chav Beis, Rav Moshe says, certainly the best thing you could do is, you know, to for sure, beyond any situation of Safek, the easiest thing you could do is leave it slightly open from before Shabbos, and then tell whoever gets psicha that when they close it again, you know, on Shabbos morning, not to close it all the way, because they're going to need to open it up again, whether it be for Anim Zemiros or whether it be for Mincha, and even you can't close it all the way anyway, because it might be a violation of Kosev to close it all the way. So as long as you give those instructions, so whoever gets psicha, he says that is the best way to handle it. But he says that if you want to be machmir. But Meikra Adin, it's mutter anyway. Why is it mutter anyway? So first of all, he says it's the same thing like the books. It's the same story that you have with the books. But by the books, there are some poskim that are machmir. The levush is machmir when it comes to opening up a book that has letters along the edges of the pages. So he says, even if you hold like the levush, I still think you could be makel. And he says you have to look at what I wrote in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Hey Shebelo Chibur Klal Mistaver Shein Lesar. That if the writing is not at all connected, it's not really attached to anything, it's very flimsy, that is not something that is asur mishum kosev or mochek. And he says, since its writings on two sides of the parochas that aren't connected really at all to each other, they just happen to be hanging in proximity to each other, but they're not connected. Leka iser, he says, because of the chashash katan, you want to be marchik a little bit. It's good, but he doesn't see any issue here whatsoever because there is no chibur whatsoever. Now the Rabbi Ribia in his Lamatas Melachos and Melachos Mochek in endnote 27a questions the dimyon that Rav Moshe makes. Rav Moshe says, you know, this is just like the Magen Avraham about letters that if you attach them in a significant way, it's a violation of Kosev. And the Magen Avraham says, if you don't attach them, you just place an already made letter, then it's not a violation of Kosev. So Rabbi Ribia says, I don't know what he's talking about over there, because the Magen Avraham, in fact, does discuss that issue, but that's a totally separate issue. Magen Avraham is talking about you already have a fully formed letter. So Magen Avraham says, if you attach that letter, you safety pin it to a background, let's say, so you really attach that letter, then that could be kosev, because you are attaching letters next to each other. But if you have a letter that you just place down and it could just blow away and it's not really attached to anything, then that's no problem. But what does that have to do, says Rabbi Ribiat, what does that have to do with our case, with a case where you're not talking about fully formed letters, you're talking about forming a letter by putting two things close to each other? Maybe that is considered kosev of that letter. So maybe these are two separate dinim. I don't see what's so hard about the two shtel. I think they're very comparable. You know, the idea of attaching a letter is not kosev. it's putting that letter attached very close to another letter and being kosif shtei osios, putting something, you know, putting two letters together. That would be l'chara the violation of kosif. So too, when you put two halves of a letter to be kosif osachas, or to be kosif to fill a word or something like that, that l'chara should also be a violation of kosif. All Rav Moshe is saying is that when things are just loosely fitting, and this, you know, we know this is the famous Scrabble psak, right? When people ask, can you play Scrabble on Shabbos? So there are a few reasons to say that maybe one should not play Scrabble on Shabbos, okay, aside from Bittul Torah, but there are a few reasons that one could say, assuming, let's say, your other option is not learning Torah, right? You're stuck in a place with no Svarim, and even though normally you know a few Masechtas Baal Peh, you forgot them, right? So you just need to clear your mind a little bit, so even if there are a few reasons. One reason is, some poskim suggest, any game that's normally played with ksiva involved, meaning where you write down your score, you're keeping track of your score, you shouldn't play on Shabbos, gzeira shema yichtov, lest you come to write down your score. Of course, the Jewish people only play Scrabble on Shabbos, so we never play Scrabble with writing anything down. So it's never an issue, l'chora. But the other issue they have is, isn't it a violation of kosev when you're forming the words, when you're making the words, even if it's a made-up word, which is what most of us do, but it's still a violation of kosev when you're making the words. So that's what the poskim, I think, suggests. I think it's pretty makubal that in the old-fashioned Scrabble boards, you could probably still find them, that don't have like a set frame for each letter. It just loosely fits on the board, that's not a violation of kosev, because like Ramosh said, they're just in proximity to each other, but there's nothing really connecting them. But if each tile has like a frame that it fits into, so then that might be more of a violation of kosev. So that's the same yisod Rav Moshe is working with over here. The fact that the two sides of the proches flimsily hang next to each other does not make it a violation of kosev. And then Rav Moshe says at the end of the tshuva, and this I think we did mention last time, anyway, I don't know why a shul would have a parochas with two pieces, because that is against the Mesorah of the Jewish people. We have a Mesorah that we have a parochas with a single piece. So to deviate from the Mesorah, particularly when it comes to life in shul, and to how we do things in shul, we should do things exactly the same. We should not innovate and come up with new things to do in shul or do things differently in shul. So especially in the Tzura of the Beis HaKnesses, the parochas should only be one parochas. But I remember I asked Rav Shechter about that tshuva of Rav Moshe, that it's Minig Yisrael or something. So Rav Shechter did not think that was widely accepted, let's say. He said, I don't understand. The parochas is a zecher to the parochas in the Mikdash, right? That separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the Bayis Sheni, where the ceiling was too high to have the amitraxim, to have a wall, they had a parochas. And how many curtains did they have? Two curtains. So he said, if it's a zecher to the parochas in the Mikdash, the parochas in the Mikdash were two curtains, what would be the problem of having two curtains, if not for this kosev issue, which Rav Moshe holds is not an issue anyway? So Rav Shechter did not think that having a parochas cut in the middle would be such a problem. I mean, would you say, like, let's say your shul always had, Rav Shechter always gives the example, your shul always had a blue parochas, and then they redecorated, they got new carpet, new chairs, whatever, and the blue no longer matches, or it got all ratty and old, and they want to replace it with a nice, beautiful new parochas, and now they're going with a gray parochas. You say that's a violation of the standard minhagim of the shul? Hard to say that. Very hard to say that's a violation of the minhag. Rav Shechter gave that mashal when someone asked him about Svardi matzahs. Is it a violation of the minhag of Ashkenazim to eat Svardi matzah? I think that was the context. So I think he said, I don't know, is it a violation of the minhag to change the color of the parochas in the shul? Meaning, this is matzah, that's matzah. I used to use this shape, I use that shape. I used to use this thickness, I use that. Yeah, as long as it's kosher, as long as it's all kosher with Pesach, so you just have to make sure it has a good hashkacha, that there shouldn't be any, you know, it shouldn't be too soft, that it's stringy when you pull it apart from each other, then you didn't think that was a problem at all. But anyway, that's a little bit about the split parochas in shul. Okay.